for those who were not here last time, you did listen to the recording that we talked about sacrament in general. Remember how many sacraments were there? Seven sacraments, right? And so three of them are sacraments of initiation. Which three are the sacraments of initiation that let the person enter into the community of the church?
Baptism.
Any other? Confirmation and? Communion. Correct. So those are the three sacraments of initiation. Which two are the sacraments of healing? Anointing of the sick and
confession.
And then also there are two sacraments of communion. For the also the community, which two?
Matrimony
and holy orders, right? Holy orders. So those are the seven sacraments. Remember, there is a tradition distinction of the sacraments of the dead and the sacrament of the living. What is the difference between those two? Sacraments of the dead are for those who do not have what in their soul? Have
sanctifying grace.
Okay. Of course, sometimes the person might already have sanctifying grace, but the person, if that doesn't have that, then the two sacraments give sanctifying grace. Which are those two sacraments? They are the pillars of our salvation. Baptism and, for those who are already baptized, if they commit big sin, what do?
Confession.
Right, confession. Baptism and confession. And then the other five are called the sacraments of the living, because to receive them, we must be in the, in what?
Sanctifying grace.
In sanctifying grace. Oh, you got it. In sanctifying grace. Really good. Okay, good. And then which three sacraments have a mark on the soul that can never be removed?
Baptism.
Matrimony. Holy order, yes. Holy order. One more.
Confirmation.
Okay. Holy matrimony, we have a marriage bond that lasts as long as both are alive. And, but, you know, if one party dies, then the bond is no more. Then the other one can marry again. Okay. So that's why holy matrimony doesn't give a character in the soul, but it's a marriage bond that lasts less as long as both are alive. Okay, and then remember that each of the sacraments have form, matter, and minister, right? Okay, who can tell me what is the form of the sacraments of baptism? What are the words being used to baptize somebody?
In the name of the Father.
And no, you see more than that. You just baptize, you just say,
I baptize you
in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's how you baptize. And then when you say in the name of the Father, you pour water for the first time, and of the Son second time, and the Holy Spirit the third time. Where do you pour water at?
On the head.
On the head, okay? Because to baptize violently, the water must be poured on the head, nowhere else. So if you some people, some priests, they don't know how to do baptism. It's true. They want to immerse the baby, they want to do the baby baptism by immersion, and then they do the baptism, but the water didn't touch the head. It's invalid. The water must touch the head to be a valid baptism. Mm-hmm. So it's important to remember that. And so when we are baptized, what happened is that when we are baptized, then all the sin forgiven and all punishment of sin taken away. No more original sin. And then also when we are baptized, that we have sanctifying grace. We become the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are in the state of grace. And also when we are baptized, we become members of the church. And so we have to, of course, obey the laws of the church. And also, when we are baptized, there's a character in our soul that we are marked forever as children of God. And also we are capable to receive other sacraments because of baptism. So baptism is the most basic of all the seven sacraments. And then when we are baptized, we usually have a baptismal name, and also we usually have a baptismal
godparent or sponsor when we are baptized. And the sponsor should be somebody who can help us to support us to grow in the Catholic faith. It's not just somebody stand there to look nice on the day, you know, but it's something that somebody who will help us to grow in the faith. So when we are baptized as adults, we should have the intention to receive baptism. And then we also need repentance and faith. Remember that when people get baptized, there will be 6 questions being asked. The first 3 about repentance. Do you renounce Satan? I do. And all his words? I do. And all his empty soul? I do. So when you baptize as adult, you don't have to make confession, but you still have to have repentance of your sin, to reject your past sin. So that's repentance, showing to reject Satan and all his words and all his empty soul. It's almost like a general confession, generic confession, that you reject all the past sin. And then you show your faith by, you know, when the priest asks you, do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth? I do. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was born of the Virgin Mary? So it's like the creed, right? And then I do. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting? I do. So those 6 questions. You think about, you know, up to this point in catechism class, you've been getting ready for those commitments. You know, in the first part, we learn about the creed. So that's what you're going to profess in baptism. And then also, you learn about the commandments. You know what are the sins that we shouldn't be doing. And so you now know to reject them when you are baptized. So up to this point, we'll be getting ready to make that commitment. And also for those receiving confirmation. Because when you are confirmed, you also renew your baptismal commitment. You also will make the same promises when the people renew their own baptismal promises on as Easter Vigil. So you also renew that baptismal promises by answering those 6 questions. So you also make that your own, the baptismal promises. So you make that also in confirmation. So it's important for us to have that repentance and faith when we receive the sacraments of baptism, but also in a sense that also because confirmation complete the gift of baptism. So we also renew our baptismal promises when we are confirmed. For those who are not baptized, then right after baptism, you are confirmed. But for those who are already baptized, that when you are confirmed, you renew. One of the highlights of confirmation is that you renew your own baptismal promises. So for an adult to be baptized, have the intention to get baptized, repentance and faith. So those are the 3 things should be in our heart, to be in the person's heart and getting baptized. And we also learn about that, you know, some people, they are not baptized, but they still, God can save them, you know, by giving them the grace of the baptism of desire. And the baptism of desire can be quite more implicit in the old days, right? In the Old Testament time, people might not be knowing exactly about the concept of the 7 sacrament, but they might have that desire to love God above all and do whatever necessary to make to heaven. So that is a bit of an implicit baptism of desire. But we know, of course, for a catechumen will be different. For the catechumen, the baptism of desire will be quite specific. I want to get baptized. And that will be really more specific. Implicit the baptism of desire. And then we also learn about the baptism of blood for those who are not baptized, but they die for the faith. They die as martyr and they go straight to heaven. And so even there are some canonized saints in the church, they are not baptized, but they are honored as saints because they die for the faith. Okay, so that baptism. So now the other sacrament is the sacraments of confirmation on page 258. 258. So in order to receive the sacraments of confirmation, you know, now think about that in this book is mainly written for people who are baptized as babies and then they are getting confirmed like this little girl here. you know, grade 7, around that age, grade 7, grade 8 to get confirmed. So in those days, you have to, what you have to do is that you have to have a class, they talk about the basic requirement for confirmation. You need to know the knowledge of the chief truths and duties of our religion. So you have to know, you know, people have to have exam before confirmation. They have to know, like, the commandments, the creed, you know, some common prayers. Those are the things that usually people have to be, make sure they know those essential thing of the Catholic faith before they can get confirmed. So there's an exam before confirmation for grade 7, you know, in the old days. And then, you know, if you are old enough, you know Bishop Carney, right? Bishop Canning was the Bishop of Vancouver from 1969 to 1990. Pat know him well, you know. When he do confirmation, all the children were really nervous because they all would try to memorize the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then it would happen that if he asked you about the question you cannot answer, he would say, no confirmation for you. You know, I don't think Bishop would do that today nowadays. But in those days, in the good old days, Bishop are pretty tough, you know, really strict. And so you heard about those stories, huh? The Pat, you know. Yeah, so Pat was confirmed. Are you by Bishop Duke?
Duke.
Yeah, by Duke. Yeah. Yeah.
Your first attempt?
Because, you know.
Did you confirm that your first attempt?
Yeah. So one of the things that is that, you know, nowadays, you know, usually priests are bishop and pity are pretty nice people. In the old days, you know, the culture is that bishop is the one, or even pastor, with authority. What I say is the truth. Is no argument. You know, sometimes there's been something, you know, we will see nowadays, we will see that it's not quite acceptable today in our standard. But in the old days, it's quite common. You know, not only bishop and priest, but also in many settings. You know, the those in authority is really, really tough. On you know what I say, that's it, you know, no room for negotiation, no room for discussion, that's the rule. So yeah, so Bishop Duke also got a nickname too.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a hard line. Yeah, Iron Duke is the nickname. And then he also have, you know, he will also, you know, have a rule for the priest in the cathedral. If you smoke on the bed, you are suspended automatically. You cannot exercise your priestly function. So some of the priests, they will actually on the feet will be on the floor and they smoke. So you're not lying on the bed when you smoke, you know. So it's not. But it was in the old days, you know, really, 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 really strict. So yeah, nowadays people got it more easy. We are more nice, you know. Yeah. Yeah. And then also in the old days to get confirmed, you have to go to the priest. The priest will examine you. And then you get a permit for confirmation. You know, it's a permit. Yeah, it's true. You got a permit for confirmation. So it's right here. It's right here. The person to be confirmed should obtain the permit for confirmation. He must go to the church properly dressed. He must go early. When many are to be confirmed, the door are closed before the beginning of ceremony to prevent the entrance of latecomer. So you cannot come late. You know, it's closed and it's, yeah, is okay. So you got an idea. You know, people do take that really seriously, really seriously.
That's the good old Zoomer days.
That's the old good old Zoomer day. I think one of the thing is that you know, people take that seriously. One of the thing you have to understand also is in the old days, you can call it the good old days, but you know, it's a tough day. In the early church, you think about especially also when the church starting to spread in missionary territory, the church is under persecution. So to become a Catholic is no small business. You know, you are actually making a really important commitment. And also the sacrament of confirmation is not just a, you know, it's not just a ceremony that you're just nice and have a big celebration. It's actually a sacrament that helps you to have the grace to be a martyr. And also to be a witness, because the word witness and martyr, they are linked together. So it's a sacrament that helps you to be courageous in the midst of difficulty. And that's why in the old rite, you can see in the picture here, I'm not making that up, you know, Joy, I'm not making that up in the picture here. You know, the bishop do give a slap on the face, you know, at the, and doing this, give the sign of peace, you know. A slight blow, yeah. So it's a reminder that we have to be ready to suffer everything, even death for the sake of Christ. And so, I think one of the things is that, you know, in the older people are more tough too, you know. Think about people in the middle age. Men need to be, they will actually have to carry weapon to defend their family. Because it was the day that people need to be really men, really tough. And so we think about some of those toughness, you know, we see it even in some of the previous generation, So maybe we are not as tough as our previous generation, but I think, we need to have that kind of spiritual toughness, even though outwardly we are more nice to people now and things like that. But I think because you think about the society getting so secular, we do need to have toughness, because sometimes we might have been in situation that we know that in we cannot cooperate in good conscience of some of the bad things in society. Sometimes people might be, there may be some business dealing that can be compromising Catholic principle, that we need to know how to, you know, give up of something that we find is attractive. So, you know, those are the, and then sometimes we have to be courageous to be able to profess our faith. And so confirmation is a sacrament that helps us to be tough inside, you know. Doesn't mean to be rude to people, but you need to be able to know what is our moral principle, and also able to be firm, you know, not to compromise of our Catholic principle. And so it's... when we are confirmed, you know, so that the form of the sacraments is be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the formula of giving confirmation. The matter is use the chrism oil to anoint on the forehead of the confirmant. So that's the matter. And when on Holy Thursday or around Holy Thursday, the bishop will bless and consecrate three types of oil, the oil of sacred chrism, for confirmation, but also for holy orders. And then you have this, the oil of the sick, for the anointing of the sick. And then you got the oil of catechumen, for those to be baptized. So, for those who will be baptized, you will be also be anointed with the oil of catechumen before your baptism. And for confirmation, we use the chrism oil. And then when somebody in danger of death, we use the oil of the sick for the anointing of the sick. So three types of oils being used in the church, and we use chrism, sacred chrism, for confirmation. The ordinary minister of confirmation is the bishop. But in some circumstance, the priest can do confirmation. So a priest can confirm in three situations. First is when the priest receives somebody into the Catholic Church. Second, when somebody is in danger of death, then the priest can confirm. And third is when the bishop gives the priest faculty to confirm. So for your confirmation, I do need to ask the bishop for faculty. So I'm marking your form to make sure I write a letter to the bishop for the faculty. So those are the three occasions when priests can do confirmation. Okay. So, and then of course the effect of confirmation is the increase of sanctifying grace. And then the confirmation gives the sacramental grace that we can live our faith loyally and profess the faith courageously. And also there is a character imprint in our soul that can never be removed that marks us as soldier of Christ forever. Now, one of the important effects of confirmation is to give us the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. Is there already in baptism? When you have sanctifying grace, you have the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. But it gives you more, you know, more fully, the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. So St. Thomas Aquinas compare that our soul is like a boat. And we are on the water of the world. But the water is going against the current. We are going this direction, the water going to that direction, because the world, our sinful inclination, and also the devil, the three spiritual enemies, always tempt us to do the wrong thing. So so we have the sinful inclination. It's more easy to do what is easy for us, or even sinful for us, than to do the right thing, than to practice virtues. So St. Thomas Aquinas would compare that practicing virtue is like you're rowing the boat against the current and you want to go to the haven, heaven. So it's not easy business to row the boat, you know, it's against the current, you know, to practice virtues. So confirmation, it's like, you know, when you are confirmed, it's like that you put a sail on the boat and that the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit give us the inspiration, so that the wind that go to the right direction, that help us to row the boat more at ease, more easy. Sometimes the wind can be so strong that you can for a moment you might just relax, you don't have to do much, and the boat just keep on going. But most of the time you have to row, and the wind come. And so every day the Holy Spirit give us inspiration by holy thought and holy desire. The holy thought to enlighten our mind, and the holy desire to move our heart. And so you think about the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, some of them are more of the mind, like understanding, like knowledge, like counsel. Some of them are more of the will, like fear of the Lord, piety, and fortitude. And then you also think about the virtues. All the virtues, they are either of the mind, like faith, like prudence, or of the will, like hope and charity, and temperance. And so the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you know, when the gifts of the Holy Spirit help us to practice virtues more at ease. And then when we practice virtues, then the result is the beatitude, that we have joy when we do good, and also the fruit of the Holy Spirit, to have that, you know, like joy, peace, charity, that really help us to have right relationship with God, others, and with ourselves. And so we see that those things, they link together. You know, the seven gifts help us to practice virtues. And then when we practice virtues, that help us to experience the fruits of the Holy Spirit and the beatitude. So that means confirmation is not magic. It's given to us, the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, but we still have to cooperate, have to row the boats, have to practice virtues. And so our weapon to be soldier of Christ is the practice of virtues in prayer, in good works, and also in sacrifice. And also, of course, using our word to help other people as well. So that's confirmation. Okay, well, then we take a little break, and then when we come back, we will go into the most important sacrament, the Holy Eucharist.